to start with, I want to read a prophetic word. We're going to put that up there that I ran across today, and I really think that you need to understand this. She said, I recently had a prophetic vision of what some would call a lifesaver or a life preserver flotation device. In the vision, I saw a lifesaver on the side of a boat. Then I heard the Lord say, do you know why I give people prophetic words? I give prophetic promises to people when they are about to drown and feel like they are sinking. My prophetic promises are like a lifesaver that people can hold on to when they feel like they may go under. Now, God's been teaching us that for years, but I don't really think that this body of Christ has grabbed hold of why God gives you a prophetic word. Even when you're a sinner, He gives you a prophetic word. She says, through this prophetic vision, I knew that the Lord wanted me to share this with those who feel like they are sinking in life. I want to encourage you to hang on to the dreams, the promises of prophetic words, and the purpose that God has given you. Hang on to them as if they were a lifesaver, because they are. You have to learn how to use your prophetic words, as a flotation device. There are many times in life that if you only look through a natural lens at your circumstances, you will see that nothing is making sense. However, you can hang on to the prophetic words and promises when you feel like you are sinking and going under. See, this is where the body of Christ fails. They don't do that. You will not go under or drown because the Holy Spirit will keep you afloat with life-saving promises. The prophetic words given to you by God are like a lifesaver because you can hang on to them. In the natural, if someone has gone overboard or is drowning, someone will throw them a lifesaver flotation device. The person who needs to be rescued can hang on to the lifesaver, and the person on the other end can pull them to safety with a rope attached to it. You may feel like you are sinking, but God has thrown you a prophetic word you can hang on to while you wait for the Holy Spirit to pull you back into safety. You will not drown if you hang on to every word God had given you. Many are treading water, spending all their time, energy, and effort to keep from going under in life. It does not have to be this way. When you encounter seasons or situations where you feel like you can barely keep your head above water, grab hold of the prophetic words God has given you. They will be a lifesaver to you. We talked about that Sunday. In your darkest moments, do not give up or let go. Hang on to every word that God has spoken to you, because He is faithful to fulfill every promise. I want to encourage you today that you will not drown. I don't care how impossible your situation may seem or how high the waters may seem. You will not go under or be overtaken, because God will do everything that He has told you He will do. Just hang on to His word and you will reach your destiny and destination. All right. Now, God's been telling us that. Now here's some other lady. God gave her a vision about it. And I'm hoping that you can grab hold of it. Because if you don't, you will drown. And you're not going to make it. This is, God has told us this is when He really wants to bless us. And He wants to free us from all bondages, but we have to do our part also. And our part is to believe and receive and act on what God is saying. Tonight, God wants to talk about new heights of glory. Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2 talks about the throne in heaven. John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door stand. Now, listen to what we're reading, because God's going to talk about this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and with one seated on the throne. He was looking up, saw a door open, heard a voice, and was taken up. All right, now this is what God's prophesying. You will sleep no more, for I am bringing you up into new heights of my glory, and I am going to infuse you with power from on high, and then send you forth to accomplish a great and mighty works for me. Let's read that again. You will sleep no more, for I am bringing you up into new heights of my glory, new heights, and I am going to infuse you with power from on high, and then send you forth to accomplish a great and mighty works for me. God says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and I surely know the times and the seasons, and this is a time and season when many mighty miracles will be occurring all across this mighty land called America. God says, come up hither at your will. You are invited to come up hither any time of day or night to sup with me. The invitation's out right now. Anytime you need to be reinforced and re-energized with my might and my power, I am waiting. Quit running to your telephone. Go up into the heavenly realm with the Father. God says the talk will be about my miracle working power. All right, so the talk is going to be about his miracle working power, not about your promises or what people are saying about you. So if you're going to go to heaven for that, forget it, because God's not going to entertain that. He said, the talk will be about my miracle working power that is at work all across the lands. The atmosphere will be abuzz with what I am doing through my true disciples, the ones that fought the good fight and stayed the course through thick and thin. It's going to be the true disciples, the one who stayed the course through thick and thin. And God said, you have seen nothing yet. Miracle after miracle is waiting for you. More than enough power for all to use. The angelic hosts are waiting impatiently to be sent forth to fight your battles for you. Stand tall and stand firm in all that you have encountered in the heavenly realm. You will be totally amazed at what shall transpire on a daily basis, second by second. God said, this great works of miracles shall set the captives free and bring many into my kingdom realm to stay. There will be no more backsliding, for this power and authority is like none other that you have ever seen, and I surely will take you into higher heights to feed you fresh manna from heaven on a daily basis. The classrooms are waiting for you to come and be fed by the sun. When all this transpires, the light of the gospel shall be spread abroad all across the land. Who's going to be doing the teaching? Jesus. And I've heard that that's what Jesus does. When people die, you know, just get saved like a deathbed, then there's a place up there where they're taught by Jesus how to live a Christian life. That's what I heard. All right, God said, take heed to how you handle my anointing. Take heed to my voice continually. Take heed and walk in the supernatural always. I am in all that is transpiring all across this land. I do not understand why my people are so perplexed about the crisis in the world. I am in total control of all things, and my way will be done. God said, yes, I know the heathen do rage. Yes, I know that the enemy is destroying all across this land. But if truth be known, there are things going on that the enemy is getting the credit for, when in fact it is I that is orchestrating all things. But if truth be known, there are things going on that the enemy is getting the credit for, when in fact it is I that is orchestrating all things. Now, I don't know if you're listening to the impeachment today, but as I was waiting, you know, helping Ted, he had it on, and there were some people saying very great things about the president, but one thing that I heard was that you were starting to impeach him before he was ever sworn into office. And, you know, and I'm standing, you know, standing on what God told me, that he would not be impeached. And I started to pray about it. I said, no, I'm not going to pray about God, then that's unbelief. You told me he wouldn't be, so I'm standing on what you told me. All right? All right, so God said, Yes, I know the heathen do rage. Yes, I know that the enemy is destroying all across this land. But if truth be known, there are things going on that the enemy is getting the credit for, when in fact it is I that is orchestrating all things. So I looked up Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to read 11 through 17. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to Moses, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord, who did all these things? God, not the devil. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. Who's going to be with their mouth? God. And who's going to teach them what to do? God. He shall speak to you, and your Aaron shall speak to you. Will speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him, and take in your hand the staff with which you shall do the signs. Exodus chapter 9, 1 and 12. See, God instructed, before we go that, God instructed Moses about everything that he was going to do. And God said, It is I that is going to do all this. Now, Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth plague, the Egyptian livestock die. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go into Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, this is what God's going to do to him. The hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague. And who's going to do this? The hand of the Lord. With a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field. The horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. See that? And the Lord set a time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing. Who's going to do it? In the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. God did it. He didn't use the devil as his instrument. He used his angelic host to do these things. If you read the word, he always uses angels to bring the destruction. He didn't go to the devil and say, Hey, come here, I want to use you for a day. All right, come on. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. All right, the sixth plague was boils. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take handfuls of soot from the kiln, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So, who took the handfuls of soot? Moses. Moses threw. The devil didn't. Moses threw the soot in the air, and the soot caused the boils. The devil didn't cause them. We need to quit saying, no, it's the devil that did it. The devil did it. All right, so they took the soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians, but the Lord hardened. Who did this? The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Did Pharaoh harden his heart? No. God, it says here, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. All right, the seventh plague is hail. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews, let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. He tells him that before every plague. For this time, I will send all my plagues on you yourself. Who's going to send them? God is. And who's he going to send them on? Pharaoh himself, and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose, I have raised you up. What's the purpose? To show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Pharaoh was raised up by God so God could show his power through all the earth. Are you listening here? See, God keeps telling us that every one of us have a purpose in this life, but we don't believe that. And that's why we turn to psychics and go to psychiatrists and everything else instead of going to God and getting ourselves together. We go every place but to God. And we stay messed up all this time. Now, God said to Pharaoh, you are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. And God tells Pharaoh, behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now, therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses, but whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven. Who's he using to do this? Moses, and not the devil, not even angels, it's Moses. Stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Who rained the hail on the land? God did. Not the devil. Are you listening here? If you're sleepy, get up and walk around the church because you need to hear this. And verse 24, there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail. Very heavy hail, such as has never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field and all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. In Goshen, God's people dwelled. God did not touch that place. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Finally confessed he had a problem. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. See, it's God's thunder and hail, not the devil's. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail. Now, who's going to stretch their hands out to stop it? Moses. So that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as far as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Moses says, you're just doing this. You're not afraid. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased. and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, just like the church, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. And we know the rest of the story. This story is the church. And the church is always trying to blame their sins on the devil. And it's not the devil making you do anything. It's your demented mind that you don't take control over. God says you need to renew your mind. So instead of you renewing your mind, you keep adding more junk into your mind. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by reading the Word of God and making your mind line up with the Word of God. Well, my husband, you know what he does now. That doesn't make it. It won't make it here, and it won't make it in heaven. Well, my kids, you know, that isn't going to make it either. It's, you know, you need to get yourself lined up with the Word of God. You need to do it. Right here in this church is still sin. As much as God has done for this church, the Word he has brought into this church, there's still sin in this church. And I feel very sorry for you, because I don't know where you're going to end up at. And that's the truth. I really don't. You think you're hiding your sin, but God said, I'm going to uncover all the skirts. I'm going to bring what they're doing. This is what he told me. What they're doing in the darkness, I'm going to bring into the light. So you wouldn't fall on the rocks, and now the rock's going to fall on you. And what you've been doing is going to be exposed. And it's not God's fault. It's yours, because you wouldn't heed God's plea. He pled with us about getting this sin taken care of, and we didn't do it. Shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just walk away. All right, you know what you've been doing. You know whether you've been sinning or not. You know you know what you've been covering up. And some of you in here are doing pornography, and you think nobody knows, but God knows it. And God showed me who it was today, and I was totally shocked. You know, but it's up to you. You heard the Word like everybody else did. All right. God said, my people do not look to themselves and check themselves out to see why these things are happening around about them. And therefore, they say the enemy made me do it, when that is not the case. You know, my grandson came over, you know, and he said, Mom, you got to listen to History Channel, because they're talking about the books that were not allowed to be put into the Bible. And so he turned it on, and what they were saying is, when the King James Version was written, there was a whole lot was left out, because we would not be able to bear what heaven and hell is all about. And that is true. The body of Christ cannot bear what the wrath of God. They can't bear the fact that there's a hell that you're going to live in forever and ever. And when I was overseas, I went into all the churches. They had all these paintings on the wall that looked demonic. And what that was all about was, they were showing in signs exactly what happens when you sin. All right, let's just say that you were into perversion. When they hung you by your testicles. I don't know how they did the woman, but anyhow, that's how you get hung. And if you used your tongue wrong, then you were hung by your tongue. And this is what was painted all over these church walls. It was a reminder to the people who committed the house of God what was going to happen to them if they sinned or continued in sin. But they were saying, and Brother Chris said that I had bought some books about this, of the missing books that aren't in the Bible. What's it called, Chris? Do you remember? But anyhow, the books that aren't in the Bible, give him a microphone so everybody can hear with this. And these are books that are not in the Bible, because the body of Christ can't bear it. You know, they live in this little bubble that doesn't exist. Go ahead.
It's called the Apocrypha.
And what is the Book of Enoch and all that stuff in there?
Yeah, Book of Enoch's in there. A lot of other books are in there too.
Yeah, and Chris and I taught about on it then years ago, but you see, if we would really, you know, if I would really start teaching that, you'd say, well, I quit. You can't even deal with this here little mundane thing. But if you really knew the depth of what heaven and hell is all about, and the depth of the punishment you're going to get, you would walk out on God. And that would be dumb, but that's what you do. You walk out on God. You can't even deal with everyday life. How would you deal with the reality of heaven and hell? I was in hell 3 times. only so I could see God show me how people were going to be tormented with the different sins that they did. And I don't want anybody to go to hell, but I can't make you not go to hell. I can only give you the word. The gist of what God is saying tonight is new heights of glory. He wants you to get out of this silly sin nature that you're in. You're cutting, I'm hearing God say, you're cutting your own throat because you know to do right and you don't. And there'll be people say, well, Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. What I do not want to do, I do. He said, God told me, they're using that as an excuse to sin, and they don't even know the extent of what Paul was really saying there. See, if you really want to know what the Bible is saying, you have to study the Bible. All right? Let's go. Okay, God said, my people do not look to themselves and check themselves out to see why these things are happening. And how many times have I preached about this? I'm sorry. are happening around about them. And therefore they say the enemy made me do it when that is not the case. What happened to Job? We've gone over this before, but we're going to go over it again. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Satan allowed to test Job. Satan was allowed to test Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You know, Satan didn't come say, I want Job, did he? The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. I mean, he was a great man. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. All his possessions are yours. Do whatever you want to with them. So, and he said, in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand. In other words, you can't touch Job. You can touch everything else, Jim, but don't touch Job. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And from verses 13 through 21, we see that Satan took all of Job's property and all his children. But verse 22 tells us, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Let one thing wrong go in your life. Well, God just doesn't care. I don't think God is really there, and God doesn't perform miracles. But Job lost everything he had, and he did not charge God about it. So the other day, somebody in my house said, well, God doesn't perform miracles. I said, I don't want to hear that junk in my house. What are you doing for God for him to perform a miracle for you? And if you got that money, you'd waste it anyhow. God's been trying to get you right, and you won't get right. So don't come in my house and say God doesn't perform miracles. You just being in my house is a miracle. You know? Come on. And that's the truth. So Job's afflicting began from the malice of Satan by the Lord's permission. Why? For wise and holy purposes. We needed to have this story in the Bible. There is an evil spirit, which is the enemy of God and of all righteousness, who is continually seeking to distress, to lead astray, and if possible, to destroy those who love God. You wonder why, you know, if you really are serving God, you wonder why you're going through such hell. It's because you really are serving God, and the enemy's trying to destroy you, to go up to heaven again and say, hi. You thought they were so great. Look at them now. I got them. They're mine. Are you going to allow him to do that? Are you going to allow Satan to go to heaven and say, ha ha, you thought they wouldn't do anything, but look what I did. I destroyed them. Think about this. Remember the time that God, you know, God told me, daughter, you're going to be going through a Job experience. And boy, did I ever. I lost everything. Absolutely everything. And he said he'll be able to do everything but kill you. And then when I was going through my Job experience, and now the whole body of Christ is going to start through a Job experience. And I told you all that. I warned you. But when you start through your Job experience, you lost it. I mean, you know, anybody, people's coming, they left. I don't want to serve that kind of God. Well, you know what? You serve the devil, and he does bad things. God does good things. I get tired of that too. Job 2, verse 5. I'm sorry. But I do. God is so good. Job 2, verse 5. Job loses his health. And God said to Satan in verse 5, but stretch out your hand and strike his... No, I'm sorry. Satan was saying this to God. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. God said, very well. He said to Satan, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and infected Job with terrible boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And we know the rest of that story too. Job's wife said, curse God and die and this and that and the other, but Job didn't. And he ended up with more in the end than he had in the beginning, because he withstood the trials and the temptations and the junk. So I'm waiting for I have more in the end than I had in the beginning. I'm still waiting on that part yet. Amen. Believe me, I lost everything. Everything whenever I went through my Job. Absolutely everything. And God even told me, now you're going under the curse. You know, what Job was doing wasn't bad enough. Now I was going under the curse. But I didn't curse God. I said, God, you know all things. You know all things. All right, let's look at Peter, because this happened to me too. Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Not ask, but demanded to have you. Why? That he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Big mouth Peter. Some of you big mouth men here, I'm macho. Come on. And women too. All right, he said, Simon, one day I said, God, what is going on in my life? So he told me to read this scripture. He says, Satan has come to me and asked to have you to sift you. And he is sifting you. He said, hold on. The sifting will end. It went on for a long time. I thought he had one little sifter to the tiniest toes raised. You know, for you who bake, have the tiniest toes raised, because he did everything he could to me when he was sifting me. But see, with Peter, he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now look what he said. And when you have turned again, Peter's faith was going to fail. He's in God's, but God knew he was going to come back. And he said, but when you come back to me again, strengthen your brothers. When you go through your little sifter, when you're all finished, you're supposed to strengthen your brothers and sisters. And I say, thank God I didn't die in that sifter. You're supposed to go and tell them how great and wonderful your Father is. Then God says here, this is God saying, speaking again, children, I am sitting in my throne room waiting for you to come up hither. I am waiting to speak the mysteries of my kingdom to you. I am waiting to give you all power and signs and wonders. Let's read that little phrase again. I want this embedded in your spirit, not in your mind. Children, I am sitting in my throne room waiting for you to come up hither. I am waiting to speak the mysteries of my kingdom to you. I am waiting to give you all power and signs and wonders. Remember I told you the time I thought I sinned when I was first born again, and I missed 3 days, I didn't talk to God. Then I said, oh God, I've been waiting. See, I'm waiting. He's telling you right now, he's waiting for you to come up hither. God said, tonight I declare an open heaven over each and every one of you. So are you going to receive that right now? God said, I declare an open heaven over each and every one of you. And I welcome you to come up hither and sup with the Master and receive heavenly wisdom to take back to my people. So right now, you should be setting, you should be receive that. Don't you turn the heat off. Thank you, because it's cold in here. So God has opened up the heaven right now. It's open. And now what you, he's saying, now come up hither. And if I, when I was typing this, what I felt like you should be doing is saying, God, I want to come up into the heavenly throne room. I want to sup with you right now tonight. Tell him I'm accepting your invitation to come up into the heavenly throne room. So he says, tonight I declare an open heaven over each and every one of you, and I welcome you to come up hither and sup with the Master and receive, just don't go, receive heavenly wisdom. Then you're going to receive something while you're up there, and then take it back to my peoples. You just don't come in, I was in heaven. Receive some wisdom while you're up there, and then bring it back and tell us what you saw. Are you seeing this? All right, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The throne of heaven. Well, this is what we read at the beginning. I just wanted to read this again to let you see, to reinstate within your little spirits. I about said pea minds. I wanted to bypass your mind and go right into your spirit, man. All right. Revelation 4, 1. After this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. God said it's already open. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. He wants to show us what's going to happen. What's going to happen? So we can warn the world of what's going to come. And so you can get yourself prepared for what is going to come. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. I want to stop there because as we were doing praise and worship, you know, God laid upon my heart. One time a lady was dying, and I had prayed for a couple times, and they came here to the church every service. We was having miracles all the time. And so they called on a Thursday and said, would you please come? And so when I went there and walked into that room, I thought I walked into heaven. The glory of God had so infested that room that, I mean, it was just full of the glory of God. And I said, God, I said, why are you here so strongly? See, you have to be walking in the spirit to even feel that. There was a man with me who said, I don't feel nothing. And that's because they weren't walking in the spirit. I said, don't you feel God in here? But I said, God, why is it so heavy? He said, because she was in the throne room this morning. We were talking. And she doesn't want to live. She wants to die. And she says she's just come back because everybody's praying her back, but she really does not want to be here. So I said to her, I talked to her, I said, God told me, I said, God's in this room. I said, but God told me that the reason why he is because you just came from heaven. She said, yes, I did. And I said, God told me you don't want to live any longer. You want to stay in heaven. She said, that's right. I said, God told me the reason why you came back was because we were all praying you back. She said, that's right. And I said, well, you just need to go ahead and go on with the Father. And I think it was on a Friday, we were called again to go up there and pray. I walked into the room, and God said, she's not even here. She's already sitting in heavenly places with me. And then out went Brother Christopher. And he says, they're just here not accomplishing anything. I walked up to where she was laying in a bed, I think, that's the way they had her. And I just looked at her, and I said to Christopher and the other person with me, I said, come on, let's go. Very quietly, and I left. They got upset with me. There was another pastor there, the pastor of their church they go to, and why would you walk out like that? And I said, because she wasn't there. She'd already gone to heaven. And I said, I was not going to pray her back. Well, they said, well, after you left, she raised her hand. I said, that's fine, but she might have came back again, you know, just, you know. And then she was gone. But for years, they held that against me. But I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to stand there and pray a dead person back to life. That girl did not want to be alive. And we talked that day, did we not? And you know, you have to be living in the spirit to experience things like this. You have to. I walked into a hospital room years ago, and I just started weeping, uncontrollably weeping. And they said, pat me on the back, we know, and we know you just didn't expect to see her like this. There's another person, see her like this. And we know that it's really hurt you deeply. And I didn't say anything. And I went out of the room, and I said to my husband, my first husband, it was his mother. I said, she's going to die today. And that's why I was crying, because God, his spirit came over me, and he said, she's going to die today. She'll be with me in heavenly places. But see, they all thought I was upset because she was looked bad and everything. But see, they didn't walk in the spirit. They were sitting there with her, just knowing she's going to be okay. And I couldn't tell them she wasn't going to be okay. They always didn't like me anyhow. You know, thought I was crazy. So I just left and went home, and we got a phone call. She passed. I knew she's going to pass. Every time I go to a sick person, if they're going to pass, I cry. And I know they're not going to make it. That's just a sign God has given me. Why would you not want to walk? Yeah, you see me suffer and struggle. But you know what? I still love the Father. And I'm still his servant. And I was sent here to do a job for him. Not so I could be satisfied, not so I could have everything, but I was sent here to do a job for him. And you know, when he told me to quit my job, I really did like my job, and I was making really good money. And he told me to quit my job. He said, my paycheck to you would be much more than the world would give you. Well, I don't get a paycheck. And the other, about a month ago, it dawned to me, you know what my paycheck is? Souls. That's what God was telling me. The souls that you're going to bring into my kingdom is so much better than all this money that they're paying you here to do this job. Isn't that awesome? But I'm looking for this great big paycheck. And I'm saying, God, I'm not getting any money. I went from living really high to living really low. I said, where is this big paycheck? He said, the checks I write are larger than the world. I forgot how he said it right now. But it was all about it's all about souls. It's not the least about money. You know, you ought to, if you're doing deliverances, you ought to think about something, because God showed me this the other day. You have to think about something. If you're doing deliverance and you're prophesying over them and they're paying you for doing deliverance, are you a psychic? Collecting money for prophetic word you gave them that made them feel good. But you didn't get any devils out. They made a cough a little bit and snotted a little bit, but you didn't really get the big devils out. But instead, you got money for it. See, these are the type of things you have to think about when you're working for God. I don't care who you are. You have to think about these things. Do you know how much money we give away in tapes? A bunch, isn't it? They said, you should charge $5 a tape. I said, no, that's a free word from God. And he provides us to stay open, so we give him free. Are you listening here? I'm not charging for God's word. He gives you word that's a free word from God. All right, let's get back to what God says now. I mean, this is what we covered in the beginning. So this is what God said, you will sleep no more. So get out of your spirit of lethargy, for I am bringing you up into new heights of my glory. And I'm going to infuse you with power from on high and then send you forth to accomplish your great and mighty works for me. This is what God wants to do with you that came in here tonight. He wants you to get up into heaven, and he wants to infuse you with power from on high that you'll never lose, and then send you forth to accomplish your great and mighty works for me. All right, this is a year, the season of great jubilee. Don't miss out on what I have prepared for those who are hungry and thirsty for the supernatural. You know, you can be hungry and thirsty for the supernatural and never receive it because you're not living right. And I know I'm looking at you, but I'm not saying you're not living right. Some people say, well, you looked right at me when you said that. Well, you know, well, you want me to look at the moon? Come on. You're sitting in front of me. I got to look at something. Right? Come on. God said, I am a supernatural God, and I'm doing supernatural things in this dispensation of time. And God is doing supernatural things in this dispensation of time. Whether you want to believe it or not, I don't really care, and God doesn't really care. That's what he's doing. And if you don't want to go to heaven, that's fine. He said, sit down here in your little laurels and not receive anything from me then. All right? Come up hither and dine and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Come, I say, come and dine this night. I want to give you a taste of what heavenly dining is all about. Come and dine. Come.